Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard to live it, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I could last for long. But I know a change gon' come. Oh, yes it will.
Wonderful, 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 Sam Cooke. Change. I am thinking about life. L-I-F-E. And I am viewing the difference between no life and life. Entered my mind, you know, just few minutes ago, of how the human life, and it goes on to the animal kingdom life. It is so that any life form with a nostril that breathes in and out air is the same classification of life like I'm thinking about. Whereas within the body of these creatures is life. However, as your car will not run without electricity, the engine, you know, has to have like wires that carry the current to allow the discharge of energy throughout the operation of the engine, that the engine is not going to operate by the life that makes it move unless the lungs, right? Unless the lungs that receive the air when on the intake that pushes out that used air and send out the carbon to pull in fresh air and repeat the action in order for life. So imagine the part that the lungs is playing, your nostril system, the role that it is playing to life. You know, life will continue because of a few things that is in place. And once one or several things are in place and functional, healthy, well, life will not exist. You will lose your life. Certain things happening in your body, some things happen slowly and threatens your life. That eventually you're going to lose your life because of what is happening. But all it takes is for something to happen quickly. And there it goes. Your lungs, your nostril no longer pull in air and push it out. When I think of the existence of life as I am talking about it, it brings my mind to an analysis of it to a conclusion of how oblivious the human, whether civilized or uncivilized, we are to the value of life. And so, this brings me to attitude. Attitude. Our sense of having attitude to life. And so, it brings me to examine the having of heart and an attitude. You know, there are many, many different types of attitude, but there is a general attitude, very, very valuable for us to cultivate, a general attitude, you know, like comes from the appraisal of the life that we have. Since life exists in the same context, but our attitude toward the elements that affects life, that is so vital for us to cultivate the general good attitude about life. That has to do with the way we treat ourselves and treat others, because we are all sharing in life. I was looking on the and the pictures are, you know, on the recording the actual flying of a plane. You know, it takes off and then things that happen while it is in the air. And there are stories of things that happen to the plane, its function, that life that makes it operate, takes you from one place to another. And sometimes they go travel long distance from one point to the other, like maybe say thousands of miles. The life, because if that plane don't retain good health of the electronic and the physical togetherness, you know, people are going to perish, right? Now, I'm looking at sometimes, you know, these pilots, flying the plane. Well, let's think of a passenger plane with, you know, 100 or more people. So I'm not going to talk about like a private airplane where somebody may take the chance of flying it them just there alone. I don't know if there is any rule to that you have to have two people. However, I'm not talking about the private plane. I'm talking about now passenger plane, that, you know, generally require two pilots, a first pilot and a second pilot. And the nature of some of the faults begins to affect the health of the plane, you know, and that the propellant power that keeps it under the control of the pilot. To manage the plane, you know, like they have like two pilots to keep the plane operating according to plan, right? Anytime something from one of these elements of the plane either, you know, the tail that they use to control the flaps or, you know, something else. You know, quite a few things that these pilots need to observe as they are, you know, they have a checklist and then they have lights, indications to say, you know, and they have automation to say, tell you something. Like if you're going out of the way or you're headed for, you know, a mountain and you may not realize that you need to pull up, you know, and don't get caught into the mountain. All right, but there are other things too, that you may have a part worn out that, let's say they never, stories about hard time and the owners of the plane have to cut costs and stuff like that, and maintenance, they, you know, they don't maintain like when things are going good for them. There is one I saw where maintenance was neglected, and I think this has to do with the rotor. What do you call it? The rotor. You know, that the nose of the plane let it cause it to like go up, and if it you cause the rotor to go the other way, I think if the rotor go up and down or something like that. You know, if you push the lever, say, to the right, let's say it goes down, and if you push it to the left, it takes the plane nose up, right? So if you get a jam, if the rudder jams when you need the plane to climb, let's say that's the left side you push it to, if something get worn out and after the plane is airborne, but you still need to climb higher and it won't go any higher, you know, what you're going to do? Sometimes they can do something to kind of let it move, but what happened to when something gone bad, it's not going to do the job. It's not going to cause the plane to fly the way it's supposed to. All right, so following that type of occurrence where something, maybe, let's say, not just that alone, other things that can go wrong. Well, let's say that, I mean, if the plane is to, like, make a right turn or a left turn, you know, or you just want to, like, lower altitude, you know, any one of these maneuvers that the plane is required to do and it fails to do it, it could be just fatal right there, because if the pilot cannot correct that mighty force that caused the planes
to fly. You know what I mean? And when they are at the cruising altitude, they take it up to their, you know, the speed that they intend to fly. When they are getting close to landing, they reduce the speed. They come down and fly at a lower speed for landing. You see? So the thing is, whenever in the case where a worker realize that problems are cited a problem that needed to be fixed and complain about it, and they fired him. Right? The company fired the person who reported it. And it wasn't long after that, a week or two after that, they had a problem with the same thing, with two highly trained, you know, like, pilot. Of course, you know, he's a European, you know, pilot. But it's like they are extremely, seasoned. I mean, they are real experienced pilots, you know, like, say, over their 50s, I think. You know, they are at, you know, the peak of knowledge in what they do, flying. And so those two guys got a plane and they take off nice and, you know, covering certain distance. But then all of a sudden, they begin to have problem with the plane. All right. And it's the rotor. That's what the problem is. And the both of them tackle that thing, and they have, I think, the two steering, where the two pilots used to maneuver certain, in certain problems. All right, so the plane, they work on it until they kind of got it back to, one of the things that happened is that the plane began to spiral. You know, you're talking about over 200 miles an hour. That plane spiraling down. Okay? To hit the ground. I think they were probably over the water at that time. And they had to go through a very arduous effort to get it out of the spiraling down. All right, so they managed to get it back level, the plane level, get it out of the spiral, and they flew for a while. But now after the problem
and the disaster that eventually Troy, the flight, and the everybody. It is shown that when they had the problem the first time, whereas the plane get into the downward spiral, it is because the rudder got worse. It was bad, and they show you the old shaft and, you know, those, you know, that winding shape that you see, you know, to allow the shifting to the right or to the left. That stuff worn out. And the kind of effort that they put out to get the plane back level, it incurred a worse damage than before they did anything to correct the problem. When they actually try to get it to work properly, they destroy the rudder. And all of what they try only damage the rudder. So, but, you know, it's admirable to see how professional these two pilots were. And it's like they know exactly what to do to fix that problem. The point is, it is beyond their power. They cannot override the problem. And so, they went for a while and called in to get some help from the tower, you know, to speak to someone with the experience of what they're dealing with and what, you know, try to see if they could somehow actually get the thing back to working, functioning state. So after they try, and they flew for quite a while, and realizing that they will need the plane to function properly to land or do whatever else they want the plane to do. Now, you know, it is amazing and admirable to see that, you know, they can sit in this plane, and this plane is going at this terrific speed, and it's like you just sit down one place. Idea that I am looking at is that, look, having life and something is going wrong with your life, it's like the plane. You better have the things working properly so that the life that it has, you know, to propel itself, and you better get those instruments right. It's like your body and the glands and the organs that we have inside of us that we need to do, like we have medical type of a thing that, you know, when we get to the point where we need the help of a physician and stuff like that, it is important that we get proper treatment, because anything you're putting into the body, it better be the right thing, you know, that the glands and organs work well with. So it's like the plane.
and the power that is moving the plane, and those who are the operators of that life of the plane, you better do the right thing. Otherwise, self-destruction. Because once you're not able to control the power of the plane, it's destruction. You're going to perish. No, and it doesn't matter how skillful you may be, or the doctor may be. The doctor may just can't do nothing else for you and just tell you, go home and go dead. You see? So life as a force, like the plane that is flying. Remember when you saw the plane down in the older, at the, you know, these palisades, and people would load up in the plane and, you know, the pilot take it off and go down to the runway and boom, hit the air, climb and gone. The power that propelled that plane to run and take off the ground. You see, now it's under the technical control of the professionals who know how to handle the plane when it's all up there, moving at that terrific speed. Now, they can't cut off that plane out there while it is going. They dare not cut off the power, because it won't take too long if they turn off those engines. That plane is going to, slam any kind of a surface down there, you know, whether it's a place where community, where a lot of houses and stuff like that. You know, this is the kind of situation that's going to happen if you cut off the engine of the plane. Listen, life that we are living is like that. There is the similarity, if you can see what I'm saying. All right? Now, you're in the plane and you really book your fare and get, you know, you're traveling and you feel all right. You may be traveling from the West Indies going to Britain or come to the United States and stuff like that. And you don't really pay attention to anything else, you know. You stay away from thinking about things that can happen and stuff like that, because you won't enjoy the ride if you know what I mean? If you think on those things that can happen, if you watch some of these plane crash and stuff, and you don't want to be thinking about that when you're going to take a plane, because there's nothing you can think about to justify going up there in a plane that is going to put itself into the situation where you don't have any coming down safely to do. That's what you're going to go in. So you have to, your mind has to be conditioned that, okay, you're going to take a flight, you know, and travel and things like that. And, you know, you don't bother think about the risk that you're taking. Well, our lives are like that. And why it is, you know, we are accustomed to the good words says, love the Lord, your gods, not Bible God, because that's not what it is about. It's not about Bible God. Love the Lord thy gods, your creators, with all your heart and your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. It is unfortunate
that we come to have a Bible that we read and believe with a God. How did we come to believe in a God, a spirit God? How did we come to believe in a spirit God? Do you know? I didn't know until I come to know why we live in a world of humanity. And we believe that a spirit God created the heavens and the earth and created mankind. What academic, civilized academic knowledge, historic knowledge, we read that in. We don't read that in a civilized history. Do you know that? We don't read that. Now, the point is, my friend, when we have very serious things that are crucial to our existence, and we believe a lie about it, like the church that we go to, and we believe that it is Genesis creation story that tells us about, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth, the world was without form and void and all that, and about the spirit God and Adam and Eve. How did we and when? You know, it's very troubling to me to see what befall us, because now we have in the what we call governmental social administration. We have what is called calendar, and calendar is what teaches us time. It gives us time, like say 365 days make 1 year on earth, only on earth, because earth has its own time. 24 hours make one day, right? So we are not on the other planet's time. We are on our time right here. Right, so whatever we know about the sun, the moon, and other planets, it's all related to our time. So we make sense of the world outside of our Earth, right? And so. How do we come to know what is civilization and when civilization occur? You know, I am very angry about this. I am very angry because I grew up in church. And I remember those days of my childhood where I walked up and about in Jamaica, and especially in my district where I live in St. Catherine. I have a I have a map, a geographical map in my brain of the place where I grew up, you know, and have several, you know, I mean, some you call you know, the radius of a few miles. And know the people and the church, our social custom and stuff like that. Christmas, I don't know nothing else. Come to find out that nothing don't go like that. And most of all, Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve in a garden, and, you know, Adam and Eve disobey God, the Creator. I say it is not void of sodomy concept. It's not a civilized thing. Church is not a civilized thing. How do I get to know that? I read history. And you may wonder what that has to do with it. It has everything to do with it. Prehistory? Do you see prehistory taught in the Bible? Of course not. And even if we are reading prehistory things in the Bible, it does not present it as prehistory, a record of the past. Carefully about what you read in the Bible, because I now know there are a bunch of things that I didn't know growing up on reading fourth grade level. Now I am able to read with more sense. And I am now finding, because if you're just reading words and you are just believing what you're reading, like when you're reading the Bible, read the Psalms and read, you know, other places in the Bible, so, you know, New Testament and little Old Testament. If you don't read with a good sense of, let's say, the structure and the form of the Bible, is it begins with the Old Testament, and it is telling us about a time gone by, let's say back in the BC era then, because it you can only call the past before AD and Adam and Eve. You have to call it BC or BCE era, where began. So human life began on the earth that's been here billions of years, like maybe 4 or 5 billion years. The earth right here that we are on, he said about that many years old, right? Now, I am saying there is a time when the first human being arrived on earth, right? They call him ape-like human, the hominid. And it was, you know, like about, from their evolution, it's like about 3.5 million years later, or 3 million years later, that another species came about. And the and civilization was on Earth was created from that species, and how civilization itself came about to be in people by creators of humans. That's how it came about, because that species, sapien, which is the only surviving species the second species don't derive, according to history, from this the hominid, because the human life begins with hominid and hence with sapien. Sapien does not come from any offspring or subgroup of the apes. It doesn't come from an independent species, this wise sapien. And that sapien has two subgroups. That's the way it is in the World History textbook. National Geographic, 2004 publication, and the second edition. It does not tell us that, and you have these faggot white people go about and decide to teach people that. And all these uncivilized country, like church is not a civilized thing. All over the world, billions of people are deceived. And, when you think that somebody like me who grew up in church, my parents are solid Christian. They pass on gone now. But I have quite a bit of siblings. Most of us are alive. I think just one of us are passed away. Leave like about 10 of us around. And we all grow up in the church. One of my brother came out of the church when I was about 13 and he was like maybe 16. And it is something he observed about the church, and he never rejoined the church again. But I didn't know why. I just thought, well, a lot of people just didn't bother with the church after a while. But I don't know what my brother, if he had a story that was of any interest to anybody. I don't think nobody, I never heard anybody like say, or he never said why he left the church. All right. Well, I am in the church until I am over 50 years of age and believe everything. I begin to find some faults with the church administration. I didn't think it was the Bible that's wrong. I was like calling out that, well, what the Bible says is not what the church is doing. Something like that. So that is like, say, make all men be a liar and God be true, right? But I read on to find out that the Bible itself don't follow prehistory about the Elohim and the world at large. Civilized history come from civilization. And when did civilization came to earth? It's something that we must know. And all kind of stuff happened. We have now hominids turn into something else and begin to call themselves sapiens. That's what is happening. These white people are calling themselves sapiens because they don't interbreed with our ancestors and infect us with their rhesus blood, and we turn fool. Now, this is the worst time to trick African people. This is the worst time to trick African people. Time for us to learn the truth, because the history book is the guide, and it is telling us about the first humans and who they are. You mean we are unwilling, or we are still that dumbed down that when we read that, we don't know what we're reading? And we allow these faggot white people to be controlling the world? I am saying We are the people who supposed to learn from the historic source. But no, these white people are telling you, no, read, learn from the Bible. Come on, man. We are to read from the Bible? Listen, corruption of the African people is done willfully by these white people. And if we cannot come to observe that, we'll perish. Just like people in the plane are telling you about today, that people in the plane realize the first spiral heading down and the hard labor that these two pilots did to bring it back to a flying position. But then the problem never go away, and they ended up hit the ocean at about 200 something miles an hour. I mean, nobody saved. The same thing will happen to us if we don't begin to read and know that we are victims even before we were born. And the only thing that's going to help us is to read and know the information that is here for us to know. You're going to church because you believe something. You know, I talked to a good friend of mine last night. One of few people that, you know, we have conversation now and then. This brother is very smart. But when you talk about African ethnic hybrid smart people, people can read. You know, they are the bunch that have higher education. And they can work wonders with mathematics and many other things. Ask something simple as what I asked my friend last night. Because he was talking and he said to me, we should believe in ourselves. You look, I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying, because something is very bad with us as African hybrid people, whether it be Chinese, Indians, or what, or Arabs, or Hispanic, whatever. Something is with the infestation of the church. Listen, the church and the Bible, when I began to tell people that, bamboozled, besieged by lies, man never a sinner. I mean, a few people, yeah, comparing to the masses of people, are seeing it is true. And I don't think I'm the first person to realize that. No, I don't think so. But most people, because of the many compartmentalization that the white people now introduce into society, just like Christmas and Easter, firecrackers and stuff like that. These are all dog, man, fucking asshole concept of a Jesus Christ that never exists. And they're doing that every day because guess what? White people are evolved creatures. There is nothing at all in civilized history that says white people are civilized. That's just a fact. White people are not civilized.
they taught us to be dumb. Whilst we are reading on the highest level, but we're still dumb because we don't, our academic knowledge, when we go to school in this AD and Adam and Eve era, is not associated with real common sense. So you are using words to comply with church teaching. You see what I mean? Yeah, you are complying with the church teaching. And what the word actually means, like the word believe, take them to find the word believe that works to like shut off the intellectual common sense of your mind and allow your brain to work well with commercial things. Because there is no spiritual element to that. When you just, like a lawyer is doing law, or the doctor is, you know, doing medicine. You're not really doing no interrelation or relevance between that type of reading knowledge and spiritual knowledge, then, when you would read history record of the past, going back to what we now know as in the BC era, you're not doing nothing about that. The amount of people I begin to ask, what is AD and Adam and Eve, and they don't know, it gives me a barometer how badly our African people are in understanding distinction between words. Distinction between words and not in every way. It is in the context that I am talking about when it comes to spiritual knowledge. Like if you're talking about the cosmos and the creation of the world, you don't let white people tell you with the Bible. You don't let Bible church people tell you about the cosmos, because church may pretend like they believe in the way the world is constructed, but they do not. Sodomite, these white people do not. And they don't believe in sexual purity. They do not. If they are making law right in America and in England and France and all these places, they take an African country and turn it into sodomy. First, by bringing in, politics in, like a church. You see them mingle up church and politics together? Since when? Since 2,000 years ago. And you don't understand that. You know we believe in Jesus, that Jesus died for us. And you don't know anything about the foundation of Genesis creation story. You don't see the problem in the first three chapters of Genesis. You don't see the pala-pala, diarrhea, whole bunch of nonsense where they're right there. Okay? You don't observe that, but you're reading it though, and you're praying to that God and everything. Now, the mentality that I'm talking about is when we say we believe. My friend said to me last night, you know, we are to believe ourselves, right? So he emphasized a lot on that, and I have to wait. He's a very disciplined man.
And I wanted to butt into what you were saying and interpose. You know, just on that point, I wanted to ask him a question on that point, but you want to be left alone, so you want, you know, peace and quiet and acceptance of what he's saying. So, all right, I realize I have to wait until he's done. I'm not good at waiting on people done because then I tend to forget what I want to ask them. I want to ask whilst it is right there in front of me. Anyway, I wait and try to remember what I want to ask him. So I said to him, do you think we should rather say have knowledge of ourselves rather than saying we should believe in ourselves? He began to react to me and he didn't see. He didn't see any problem with believing in yourself. So I begin to like ask him about the difference between, I ask him, is there a difference between belief and knowledge, right? And reaffirm that we should believe in ourselves. But and then he goes off into something else. So I said, but you're going away from what I ask you. And then something that should just be settled, yes, directly, what's the difference between knowledge and belief? You know? And I realize that, you know, I have to be more temperate about this, because I'm seeing the energy between belief and knowledge. That is two different type of energy, that, right? You will only realize what I'm saying makes sense if you are at a level of understanding that belief and knowledge carries different definitions. You can't get the both of them to mean the same thing. And that's what I'm asking my friend. Do they mean the same thing? And he couldn't. He's going off to other illustration, but not to the dictionary that would right away split the difference between belief and knowledge. You see what I'm trying to say? I am not a big reader, but the little reading I have exposed myself to civilized communication, right? So my way of looking at words is not confusing nor defeating to word and their content. I am following the etymological word content. You see, and the business of words is to relate facts to people, to bring out the truth out of issues, of which if you don't follow, if you don't have the knowledge of the word, of the words, or word, and you talking off your feelings and stuff like that, no, forget it. You'll never see what I'm saying. Okay, the difference between knowledge and belief. Now, I know a lot of people will catch on to this, what I'm saying, because anytime, for the people who believe things and don't want to question like anything spiritual, you know, let God be true and all men be a liar, you know, you don't get there so yet. No, because you're way down the road when you're talking about let God be true and all men be a liar. And you believe all the lies, what God say, and the bad, evil things that God done in the Bible, written in the Bible, and you don't see it. And if anybody should say to you, but why God tell Moses to kill off the people and their children and stuff like that? You quickly decide that God knows better, because you You the Bible is what your conviction is in. You think that a spirit God in the Bible is who really creates us and all things. Not just because, first of all, you don't know that the Bible is not certified by academic people who know what is history from not history. And you probably don't care because your conviction is stronger than anything else in the world except the logical way of finding, of dealing with words, although you use them. You see, if you get to find out that there's a way to use words and not the way you see commonly used, and communicate. Anytime you know something factually about words and you hear somebody, even somebody that you respect, is using the words wrong that they are communicating and you decide to take them up with it, like me and my friend. And I said, do you think we should believe in ourselves or we should have knowledge in ourselves, right? We should know things about ourselves and not believe in ourselves in that context. I know I'm not saying we shouldn't believe in ourselves, but context is really what directs us to the way in which we think and do things. So, having knowledge of yourself and just believing in yourself by assuming that you're okay is two different things. Because for one, when you have knowledge of yourself, you search yourself. You find out the fact about yourself. That's what you do. And if you need adjustment to yourself, you will do that adjustment. You will never be able to do adjustment to yourself as long as you're only believing in yourself by the things you assume to be okay. You don't assume things and get a fact. You don't get no knowledge by what you assume and don't know. You have got to know. That's the reason why the world and the African people are doomed. Doomed to failure, doomed to believe in God, in Jesus, and die an idiot. You see? And you just don't know why the church is so filthy. And now it's full of homosexuals. My brother in England is a Christian. And when he's confronted with, why is it, you know, are you marrying homosexuals now? And he cannot face up to that. Because, you see, he believes everything. So when you put something of knowledge to a man, you know, with color, white color on his neck, and he preached Jesus, and him tangled up with the Jesuits. You know, he doesn't know what to do to himself, so all he doesn't bother talk to me. He doesn't bother talk to me. And I am not disrespectful. I'm not disrespectful. But what I have learned about words and the way I used to use words and communicate, I found out a lot of things wrong, you know. And you may be amazed at the vast amount of things that I have learned by understanding that words is something that will never seek to understand me. Figure what I'm saying? I realize that words are not trying to be in love with me. No. I find out I must be in love with words. That I must, no other way, but must have interest of the knowledge in words to use them properly and to let things go the right way with my communication and my conduct. I have to know the words when I read them. I have to know the definitions, what words require of me to do. I have to see it in the words, or else I will never be right. Because the ingredients we need is in words. So why do you think it is even necessary for words to love you or even want to know anything about you? Words don't want to know nothing about anybody. Everybody needs to know what is in words. It's not the other way. So I'm telling you now what life is like compared to the engine in a vehicle and the things that can go wrong with us in our lives and how the engine in a vehicle needs to be fixed by a technician, a mechanic. You see, because if we don't fix the way we talk, the way we address things, something is going to go wrong with young people's relationship. You know, well, you can't stop getting into certain negative connection with some people, because the way things can happen in the human world, you cannot reach some people using words, because they, for one thing, they think that they know words better than you. Well, well, really, you know, I mean, if you, because like my friend I'm talking to last night, tell that he has, I mean, he expresses it, you know, that his level of understanding is beyond reproach when it comes to words. And it wasn't true, you know, but I tell you what, this is a smart guy. He began to say to me, he's learning. And he has been learning something from me. Because, look here. I mean, this friend of mine, he realized I am not like Joe Blow around the corner. A solid, reasonable, conscientious person from I was a Christian. Because, you know, it is good that in Jamaica, we didn't know anything about sodomy in the church and all them kind of thing. Like, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, we hear all kind of things and stuff. No, that was not into our brand of Christianity. You see. So I did not know anything about homosexuals until I really come to America. You see, because I live sheltered. I'd never like get into certain kind of a company. I was not a promiscuous kind of person. You know, I always seek to be a pure person. And I couldn't keep up to the church with their kind of ways. And in that kind of a fall, you know, apart, you know, are not feeling justified about the church and my thinking. I was not following, let's say, certain things that I believe about the church, because it was not manageable to me. But when I left Jamaica and came to America and I go to adult school and I learn to read, it was something about words that I never knew. And as I read
it didn't take nobody at all to, like, teach me certain things about words. People, they have taught me other things that I needed to know about, you know, how to do certain problems and some maths or something else that I learned. But anyway, the marriage with words and myself is something that I discovered that goes beyond what I was being taught. Because once words are in my grasp, I am seeing what I have, and I can see the realm of the positive force that the words, if you're reading words and you don't see the boundaries in what you're reading, if you don't see boundaries that word set, and I mean, I'm talking about words all together, each word that you know, words will permit certain things. And word will deny certain things. But it's all equitable. Words are used to affect the energy within your mind and how you react to things. Words will tell you whether something is right or wrong in your mind. So, and give you the range to which you can maneuver yourself by the range the words give you. The word set the range. And when you read words, that's what you look for. You look for the equity that words give you. So that's what I learned. I learned when you have an issue that you're dealing with and words that you, that is what you are doing. When you reach to certain, when you reach a certain situation in what you're doing, the words that are involved, you know, when you research a word that is a key, you see, which holds the crux of what you're doing, you check out the definition now. Like, let's say, believe. You're a believer in, say, the church. And I am telling you that, you know, you should not be a believer in the church because the church don't give you any knowledge for you to identify the fact of anything when it comes to the context of God as a spirit in the Bible. You don't have anything in history to tell you that it's true. So, but you believe it. You believe when the Bible says God begets a son. You don't have anything in real history to prove that any God have any son. Now, who is writing a Bible and tell us all of that? White, honest, fucking white people. Nobody but them. Because they come up with A.D. Anno Domini. What was before A.D. Anno Domini? They say it's B.C. era. All right. It doesn't make any real sense, but it has to make some sense to us today who are following A.D. Anno Domini. We shouldn't be following no A.D. Anno Domini, but this is where we've gone. And if you don't find out something is wrong, it's going to be wrong forever until you're dead. So, I'm saying, you believe in the church and you don't care about what happened under the BC era at all. BC era is what represents the calendar, the solar calendar, that deals with hybrid life, that have life of blood from the gods that came to earth. These immortal creatures that do all the marvelous things on earth. Can't refute that. You can't refute that. It is their blood created the hybrid people on the, like these, you know, I mean, just say the hybrid ethnic group of people. Okay? So, I am saying that we have got to pay attention to the word. And I'm saying, no, you come to the point where I'm telling you that you should not believe in the church. You should have knowledge of the church. And let's say if it is knowledge that causes you to be a believer in the church, you should revolve around the knowledge and not believe, because knowledge must come first. If you don't deal with knowledge first and get okay in what you're thinking and what you will be doing, if you don't get that by knowledge, you shouldn't believe anything. Get to know something before you believe in it. It's the law of the word believe. And with little, you have a little bit of exception to the rule. You have to follow the rule. So not believe in what you don't know. Follow that rule. But there is a little exception. And you have to note that exception real good. If you have somebody that you know honest and upright, you know, like beginning with your parents, your brother, your sister, and other people, and close friends that you observe and know that they are nice people. And if they have ideas that they would share with you and stuff like that, and, you know, give you certain direction to certain things, you can tell whether or not that friend or those type of friends, you can trust them. Because belief is about trust, right? You don't want to trust in people that want to put you into trouble. So you don't believe much of what they say. You need to work with knowledge when you're going to believe anything. You need to have knowledge as the force that compels you to be convinced and to trust. If you don't have that, you don't do it. Few people that you will feel you don't have to check out. Few people. It should be few people that you know they will work good for you. But be skeptical about people and you believing what they say. You must have a good sense, knowledge of those people before you trust and confident them in what they say, that they will keep their word and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Be careful about that. It's an energy that we are dealing with. And you notice, you've never heard of any university or a college or school or any academic learning where they give you a class on how to believe. You think about that. You know? Do you know of any class with a curriculum teaches you the knowledge of how to believe? Maybe they should have one. But as far as I know now, I don't know any. Now, why believe plays such a role in the world today? People easy to believe you?
Is the Bible, is the church, is the faggot white people have.
Will not see any of that under the BC era. Read that. Go research that. And see if you find any system under the BC polytheistic era that teach you how to believe, you know, as a curriculum. It does not, because that corruption is not into the indigenous vernacular. You are taught uprightness, the Elohim. You see what I mean? But now, taking up civilized use of words and pollute it, such as talking about believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know, it's like belief is a license for you to believe any crap somebody's make up. Like Jim Jones, he had like these almost 1,000 African people that they carried to Guyana. He is a registered minister of Christ. You know, nobody said nothing about that. It is these white people of where take over America, and with their sodomite, that's who Jim Jones had to be, a sodomite. You know, he had to be a sodomite. He's a white man. He ain't an African. I mean, ethnic person. No. You see, and he took these people down here and killed them off. I mean, I think there were a few white people, maybe 20 or I don't know, something somewhere like that. But my friends, what I'm trying to say to you is that using words, as I come to see it, is one of the most critical things that a human being does. And that your life must be protected at all times, especially when you're talking. Because it's easy for you to put yourself in trouble by what you say. And if you don't know what you load up in a word when you use it, you can easily, unknowingly, put yourself into trouble. You see what I mean? White people are ruling us, African people. Look at this. We leave Africa 100,000 years ago, leaving many of our folks in Africa. But we come out and settle down all around the planet Earth. And you think about New Zealand and Australia are two places so notable to me that these white people go there and kill off our people. And you don't hear any alarm about it. Oh, they go there and gradually use poison and all kind of stuff and kill off the ethnic people of New Zealand. And they take over these places now for themselves. These fucking ass white people, they think that everything the African ethnic people have, they must own it. Because that's how they intend to drag us to fuck ass like them do. But we are created heterosexual. Okay? And the World History textbook tells you we ethnic culture. You don't mingle with other people who don't follow the same way of life that you follow. And besides, there is no place in the World History textbook that tells you that white people are civilized. The very development of urban development civilization for the hybrid people
And remember who the hybrid people are. They are the ethnic group of people. You got to know that so that you know who are the people of your blood. You see, so if you are following Bible that teaches you about Adam and Eve in the garden, you're not dealing with your blood. You have to deal with the prehistory that tells you. You see? And let these white people go into Europe with their modern time concept of Christianity. Christianity is not for civilized people. The words that we are using is the crux of our identification. Because they run away. These white people run away from you if you're serious about your identity. They will flock to you when they find out you need real good glasses. I mean, and it's psychological. You really need something. So now they find out that you're not seeing very well. You don't understand much about, you know, getting into trouble. So, yeah, they invite you to church. But my reading is what taught me that the church is hellfire. And you need not go there. But nobody didn't help me to find out. It's my common sense that begin to notice words and examine them. You know, examine them. Especially when I have something at stake, I'm not going to use the word casually. No, I'm going to examine and comb. I am going to comb. You know, like, you know, combing your hair, you know, make sure it is well combed and dressed. I am going and search the word and its definitions, because the definition of the word that you are using, that's the gunpowder protection. That is your, when you're going to like blast something out, you load up with the most appropriate definition. Nobody can twist what you say. Now, this guy that, indeed, my parents called me Timothy Aldrin. It's a Bible name, that, right? I don't really care, really, because I don't see in any way that a Bible name has anything to do with my soul inside of me, my genome. I don't see. I see things that enter me, and not the name that I am called by. Right? It is something inside of me that I must be concerned about. Like I say, our life is like the life of animals. And as you breathe and stuff like that, you sustain that life inside of you. You don't want to mess up the air you're breathing. You don't want to congestion of your nostril. You want to breathe freely. We need to understand what makes us live. You see, and anything you're saying to people or people are saying to you, you must be particular about the words. Because words represent the very breath you're breathing. You see. And so, my friends, I feel very, very sour about the condition of this era that we are in called AD Anno Domini. Because AD Anno Domini, like I said to you, has nothing to do with civilization. It has nothing to do with civilization. And it has to be strange to a lot of people when they hear that. But it is true.
But when I say to you that these white people have nothing to do with us, and when I pointed out to folks and said, do you know how many of the places we settled down from the time we left Africa 100,000 years ago? That's a good time gone by. But we are represented into this world is a textbook as the first anatomic prehistory human being. You know, they want to call us modern human. We are not modern humans. Now, these are the kind of stuff that I specialize in now, that when these faggots, them writing all kind of stuff and write Bible and give us, white people have no right to write any history of the African people. They don't. But isn't what I'm saying strange? Because we grow up and they're doing all of these things, but I come to know Africa don't business with us anymore. They should be protecting us, the Emperor Haile Selassie and many other people. They should be protecting us. They are not protecting us. Talking a whole bunch of garbage that these white people know far ahead better than them what really about and what keeps them in the position that they are in. They are in the business of making us believe what we don't know whilst we live with that concept of believing what we don't know. They find out that, okay, they get us into their fold because there is no consequence that we hold them to except the general complaint about white supremacy, which is like wind blowing dry leaf because they're not going to modify anything. You know what? If the gods don't do anything to help some of us, we will perish. We will perish because our brain is, you know, like three-quarter dead already. When we think that we are okay, you know, belief is what we hug and embrace because that ignorance is a nice thing. The ignorance that is generated from believing in what you don't know when it comes to God and Jesus is the chief poison of Jim Jones. You believe in what you don't know. Because if you are to give up believing in Lord Jesus Christ and the monotheism God, it doesn't matter what the shit these white people call the God of the Bible. You will reverence it. You will reverence it. Because you are not seeing that something is wrong. You have no sense of your civilized history. When I tell you that the Bible is not a civilized book, when they talk about sin and Adam and Eve, it is not true. Now, you're going to have a hard time to pull from that super glue, hold you believing foolishness that is not true, and you cannot be convinced because them block up that the port there. Nobody can get no kind of truth in there. Matters not how somebody like put it to you and say, what is the difference between knowledge and belief? And you don't know. You don't know. You don't know that believe is even a verb. Do you? Believe is a verb. That is the part of speech for, I mean, I didn't know, you know. I'm somebody that never acquaint with different parts of speech and all like that. And today, I only discover some of them. some of them still backward in academics, but there are certain phases, you know, of academic, you know, energy working that I come to understand. You see, that I come to understand. And once I understand it, I know that my entire life depend on it. My life depend on it. And I am not about
want to show off anything on anybody. No, I was never a show off person at all. However, I don't have what you call it, personality, you know, complex or nothing like that. No, I am okay in myself because I try to change my negative ways to positive. That's what I live to do. And I just want to find that haven of rest in myself when it comes to the knowledge about my existence and how I want to live. I don't want to change for anything. But I'm not going to on the level where I need to be if I don't do the thinking. You know, if I don't do the word loving, you know, to where I will get to find out. You see, because I need to find out more and more and more. And it will be the glory of life. The more we find out and adjust ourselves to. All right? So I want to thank you for tuning into the program today. Now, let's get another little melody here, and I will come back and tell you about the little feature that I have for the show and, you know, let you go and take care of yourself for the afternoon or the morning, whatever it is, noonday. All right. Now, so I want to, what is this one? Okay. Now, let's see. Stardust. I have two of the same artists here that I inclined to pick. And Stardust. All right. Stardust. All right. I wanted to play the next tune, but now I'm going to play Stardust because it seems more the energy feel for what I'm talking. So I'm going to play Stardust. King Cole.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration, but that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song. Beside a garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale, a paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart it will remain, my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
All right, that's wonderful. Nat King Cole and Stardust. All right. Now, let's get to world history. Said hominid ape humans started Cupid homosexuality in Europe. That's what history says. Right? So, we know that there is a need for the public, the world at large, to identify when of the homosexual culture of Europe. When did they begin to talk? Because we are now, when I'm reading, I'll pick up them making all kinds of arguments coming from out of the bushes about themselves. You never can trace them. I just pick up one reference that they made about, you know, they come from Homo erectus and link themselves with Europe, but they hardly want to link that they come from Africa into Europe 1.5 million years ago. They don't want to say all of that because it drags them too close to accountability. They want to come here and teach us to marry and start fucking us like them. So they don't want to let out the truth about themselves. Again, it is in the World History textbook. I read it all the time here for people to hear it. That the hominid reign for a long time by themselves in Africa, making stone tools. Came time they were able to make fire and decided to go into Europe. But they could only make stone tools. They don't talk. They are ape. They come from ape lineage, right? So they're hominid. So do you know them to talk? But they don't want us to hold them down and force them to identify themselves. They don't want that. They don't want that. Okay? So, what I'm telling you is not a joke. I'm someone who loves the truth, whatever it is. So, I'm not going to do anything about myself that I cannot face the truth about it. Right? I live, you know, and I am what they call a tan skin person, but I am a hybrid. That's what history says. And these sodomites is not going to come and overshadow us with their sodomite concept, since they get crossbreed, civilized knowledge, and tangle us up. I am telling you, white people must go where they come from. Okay? Because as long as I have a breath, I am going to appeal to the gods and say, you know what? We should be able by now to know the things to put us on the right path. That's what I am about. I want these people out completely because they will never be good. What they do over all these thousands of years to us, you know, it's time for us to realize and get on the right path in unity with our creators, who these sodomites is doing everything for us to deny. I'm not. Listen, I'm not tolerating it. I am not tolerating white people coming, and everywhere we are, they shove us out and establish their sodomite Jesuit concept and intent. In their intention, all their intention is to get the knowledge of our gods out of our brain. That's what white people want when they set up church and evangelism, to put a different spirit inside of us, one that make us want to become sodomite like them. They don't want to come out, they're going to find out, because, you know, as long as I am alive and I have the enablement holding the connection with my creator inside of me, that at least, because I have the desire and the intent to see the glory of the gods be adored, then there are the supplies to kick them out. Them out, because they have their place to go. They are making it seem like it's only the places where we are so good that them should have it and not us. What kind of business is that? I am ready that what I have read and know to be the truth, somebody would have to come and open my eye to convince me that it is not the truth. So long that is the truth, my friends, and our gods are there waiting for us to entice them that their work is not in vain, and they are willing to do stuff for us. My friends, I can assure you, I have absolutely no awareness at all, no consciousness that they are going to be sorry, because I don't see anybody change my my revolution. The revolution that brought me out of where I was to what I'm thinking now, I'm not aware of anything possible. You see, because it's a lot of intricate things that I must get rid of, that when I see them, I want to get rid of them. However, it's going to cost me attention, deep attention, to get those things out, because they down there, deep, deep, deep down, a lot of defilement that I born with that I must purge out so that I can be the real person I should have been at birth.
So I want to thank you again, and this is what I'm trying to tell you. Now, it's a long time now. When I look at the shows and the titles that I have been naming shows for quite some time now, you know, I see that it is a season of concentrating on this, these white people who use the Bible to contaminate us. Yeah, that, yeah, I mean, irrespective of anybody who think that, oh, you know, I talk about the same thing every day. Well, you know what? If you don't want to hear what I'm talking about, what I talk about every day, you know, you probably have something better, what you think is better than what I'm talking about. Well, anybody from going to talk about what they go mind their own business. Because right now, this is my business, and nobody don't have to listen to me. You know what I mean? And whosoever will, let them come. Because I am talking things that I know. I could be into something else, but I don't want to be into nothing else. You see, and what I'm talking about is not like it is strange and don't exist. It is something that exists. So if you want to tell me that, oh, I mean, why you talk about that all the time? That's my business. You know, because look, by talking about it, I'm doing myself a lot of favor when I am talking about it. Because guess what? I'm not just talking for people to hear me. Not just that. Well, you know, I would have to, like, come up with more interest. But the fact that I am doing it for my own gratification, well, it put me on the same level with everybody else who want to hear it. You see, there are a lot of people who would like to understand words the way I do, because when I go to the courthouse and I talk to a judge or talk to a lawyer, they want to, like, I mean, I've seen a judge run and hasten to go behind the door before I approach close. Look, and sheriffs who have dealt with me and decide, oh my gosh, you know, there's something about me writing people. So they one put smote his breast and say, I don't want him to write me a letter. I mean, a lot of people out there are afraid of what I have discovered about words and the way my MO is today. And it's a good thing that I never have criminal kind of tendency or not like that, because maybe it would be a total different stuff. You'd have something else on your hand. But no, I am talking to the world something that I have learned, that as a, you know, a person grew up in church and thinking about the good things about this Jesus that we talk about, I come to find out about what's really real. And there's hardly anybody can stand it. And you have got to come to that level of consciousness to begin to find the spiritual force that we need to live on this planet and live, you know, in season, in grace, and out of season, continually. You see, but it is a technical thing that we must adhere to. And for people who say they're Christian and they want to live the good life and they believe in Jesus and believe in God and think that that's really where it's at, talk to me and find out. You know, I am pure, I would say, because I grew in knowledge. So I am far advanced than where I was growing up, teenage and into adult. I'm far ahead, and you know, now, you know, a lot of thirsting after the kind of thinking and the feeling I want to comprehend well and to digest well
really. So that it means that, look, if you're going to come after me with anything, come good, because, you know, you need to be victorious. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm holding on to what I think makes me what I want to be. And as long as I am being what I want to be, I'm okay, because I far long ago settled the way I want to think and want to feel. You see, because before I go and get off into stuff that, you know, I'm going to feel unhappy about it, I'd rather go take a nap of sleep, because chances are I'm going to wake up and feel better on a different channel that I want to, the way I want to think and feel. So here we go with this problem that we are having as African people. We will get rid of the problem when we get rid of the problem that we are posing. Because they come with Bible and twist our minds to make their God our God. Time they're killing us and says, dear God, tell them to kill us and take what we have. You know what I mean? And I'm telling you now, you know, we just need to do something that is manageable to get rid of this problem with white people. But as long as you think white people are good, they're Christian, and Jesus is your Lord, and as long as you think that, an hurricane is going to pick you up and dash away where you will never come back. No joke about that. And you will be calling upon Jesus, Jesus. It's the wrong energy, that. I'm telling you that the church is not a civilized thing. Civilization, you don't know where civilization come from. You need to read the world history textbook and know where people are coming from. If you don't get a sense, you don't get a vibration when somebody tells you something that is true, unchangeable, well, you're probably dead before dead while you're still alive. Because words must affect you if it is true. Now, if you fail to digest the words that are true, you will not be transformed at all. You see, away from foolishness. But if you want to live a transformed life, you have got to deal with words that will raise your thinking higher, your consciousness higher, and put you into the queue to develop to a higher level of esteeming what is the right way to think and to feel and to act, right? So it's not hard. When you begin to find the sweetness in the civilized creation of humanity, you will be all right, because there will be something there to remove you from the other kind of things and make you and show you what you are to delight in. All right, so these people have taken over the world that we have built for ourselves, and they come with their imperial colonialism, force hegemony, take away what we have and say it's theirs. Right now, AD Anno Domini is what they say they have government. And now, I'm telling you, I've done research this and know that white people don't have no government. They're full up a fucking ass whole bunch of things that they know is not true anyway. They know. And anytime they hear you say it, the right thing, they'll run away from you. Because they don't have anything superior to what we know is true. And as long as we arrive at knowing what is true about us, they can't preach to us no more. White people cannot preach to us.
And I'm telling you right now, a lot of people will not face me because they know they don't have any helmet. They don't have no breastplate on at all. And I will not struggle to put them out of business. You see, they cannot stand up to the truth about our origin. Not in the Bible at all. Okay? Our creation is not in the Bible. And what you're reading about in the Bible is what these desperate, sodomite, white people go read in our history and then turn around and decide to work it against us. They don't know that the time will come when they will forever be losers. And they will not rise again to do what they did before for years and years and years. All right. So let's go on with these few lines. World history said, hominid ape man started Cupid homosexuality in Europe. Okay. Everything you see going on today about sex and the body and good-looking flesh and stuff like that. These are the folks that come and destroy our thinking about body. Body is a stinky piece of flesh. If you don't keep your body clean, your body is a stinky piece of flesh because you always have shit carrying around with you as a human being. Just like animals do. We need to get to the truth about life, you see, and don't give ourselves to things that, you know, we throw in, you know, caution to the wind. We need to live with caution. We need to know the truth, you know, regardless of you know, I mean, beauty of your human self is okay. But it profits you a lot now under AD and Adamani, where the sodomites are grooming us to become sodomites. You know, so we don't have the right perspective of beauty as it is right now, because that's what they, white people, them are using to destroy the civilized world. All right. Let's go on. World history said, hominid ape human started Cupid homosexuality in Europe. The civilized hybrid ethnic brain, named cerebrum, cerebellum, not homo gay brain. You see, they have a different brain from us because they admitted that Homo erectus has a different brain, okay, from sapien. But they are admitting things that if you are reading critically, you will find out they don't want to tell us that it's our species, the interbreed and Sartak. They don't want to admit to that because that will drag them down to nothing. They want to maintain their standard of glamour and rule. They want to do it. But now I am talking what is, I mean, civilized truth. They can't stand civilized truth because all of what they do to destroy civilization, it is because they are sodomite from birth and by evolution. Okay? So civilization is something different, and since we come from sapien species, you know, it is not all of perfect civilization. It is the blood that mix with sapien that makes us the people that we are today. We are
the first human hybrid because of the blood of the gods. When you hear these people talking about the blood of Jesus, what they really, really have in mind is the blood of the gods that created us. And that's what they envy, is the profoundness that we have. All right. We need to be developed academically and other, you know, ways, build up our intellect, because we have the vast potential. So we will not be able to be developed and be harmed with the helmet of high integrity. High integrity and mastery to live. You see, so such thing, and the tool is word, like I said to you. Word energy, the knowledge of word is really what's supposed to make us develop. Now, we prove that our ancestors fall into problem. And it's the reason why we are here living over a whole bunch of bucket of a whole bunch of mess. And we will have to get to learn and get over these hurdles. We can. But if we stay with the concept that these people give us in a Bible and stuff like that, and make us walking all over ourselves and glorifying foolishness. When I go so, if that's why I'm telling you, we need to leave out the church. And as long as you stay with the church, they will have you, swallowing their whatever it is. These white people, they don't care, in other words, they really don't know civilization to the depth. They don't know civilization to the depth. They only know certain things. And when they decide to stop us and block us from advancing intellectually via words, then they will succeed in destroying us, because we never get to develop. Well, I find out, and here I am. You know what I mean? I have the range to develop to the highest that we have potential to do, because I'm cutting out all the whole bunch of nonsense that they put inside of me and what I had believed, and trying to get away from those kind of a thinking. You see what I mean? White people are not good for African people because they are homosexual. And there is nothing you can do. Don't try to save homosexuals. You cannot save homosexuals. And white people come from that culture and blood. Okay? When you hear them talking about God this and God that and stuff like that, well, that's their concept. I mean, Roman Catholic Church. You don't hear none of them condemn it. Because they hold the Bible in the God in a Bible monotheism. That's what they use and poison us over the past 4,000 years, especially. Yeah, all of the books they write is calling themselves Jews, and you don't hear them condemning that they're, you know, themselves as being Jews, and how they morph and take on our character. You don't know. They're talking about they're running government and stuff like that. So if you think white people good to be around us, no, you definitely are in the dark. In the dark. White people, look, they come and teach us Jesus' teaching. And who is Jesus? Jesus never exists at all. So they're using those characters to advance themselves, because they never have anything. I mean, like I said, 3.5 million years, they never talk. They make stone tools. They had no life. White people had no life.
You see, and it is a shame. I'm here, I'm talking the truth that reigns, and they decide to make sodomite rule, that they would turn off my mic. No, there's no reason why these people are there and able to do the kind of stuff that they are doing. You see what I mean? Okay, but what I'm trying to say to you, today is today. What is tomorrow? You know, what is the God? You know, what are the gods really thinking about what's going on today? What I'm trying to say to you is that things happen in the world before our time, and it's up to us to react to what's going on. What do you want? Car, house, and money? Is that what you want? I mean, the people who experience the turbulence and the, you know, the catastrophe of the plane and eventually die, you know, whilst they were thinking that, you know, they have a hope, you know, to survive. No, but they didn't. And that thing went on, you know, enough to torture, I mean, and panic them until eventually they never overcome. They get, they all, you know, died immediately upon impact in the ocean. I mean, all of us can end like that. You see, our lives can just end like that, my friend. This time that you're breathing, you have the will to think about yourself and what kind of a spirit you'd like to possess, okay? And I leave it up to you. All right, let's come on to the next portion here. I tell you about these white people. I don't, look, you may never have to hear me say it again. And you may, but whenever you hear things, it's for you to decide what you want to separate yourself from or what you want to cling to. You must decide that, not me. I tell you what kind of people these white people are, and don't take Jesus as anybody, because, you know, you can come here. I show you in the Bible for real, because you may never think that I can do that, but I'll take you and use the words and show you that Jesus never exists as a character. And there are observations that I can also point you to make you know what I'm saying is true. You see, there's nothing in the Bible about our creation that these white people are talking about. And we don't need them. They are sodomites. They are evolved sodomite people from long ago. They never talk. And it's we then get blood from why they're talking. Why would we now turn around and make them preach to us about Jesus Christ? And we don't have no Jesus Christ blood. It is the blood of our God that make us who we are. We born a talking people. They have to come and do evil stuff to us to get picnic, talking picnic, and start learn everything from us and come to and become you know, they become the evil disaster in our life. All right. So you think about what I'm saying to you. The history is there to prove every single thing I'm saying. Now, not begging you to believe nothing. It's knowledge we must have. If you don't want to pile knowledge inside of yourself, it's up to you. About 11,000 results of 0.69 seconds, okay. Okay, for this search, showing results for number, National Geographic 2004 edition, edition 2. Take your Cupid Christian Bible lyrics out all hybrid ethnic land. Right? I say the National Geographic that I'm speaking from is the 2004 edition 2.
So it was published 2004 and edition 2. That's what I'm speaking from. Listen to the following. It's not a lot, but for you to think about it. Take your Cupid Christian Bible lyrics out all hybrid ethnic lands. Go dress yourself in animal skin. All right. I think he says this A and I. Yes. So, you know, this is what I'm telling white people to do. They need to do it because up to this point, it doesn't seem like white people think that they have left their homeland to overthrow all of the African settlement around the world. They are so fucking idiot that they don't have no sense of conscience to know that they are a species by themselves. We are a different species. We don't come and do nothing to them. And they could have gone everywhere we come and settled. They could have settled these places long ago, but they couldn't even leave Europe. Okay? And look and see when they claim they make up the first government. Do some research on these white people, and then you will have something to tell them. Say, look, leave us alone, not unless you love faggots around you, but no civilized person wants white people sodomized around them. Because it doesn't matter how they're behaving. Christianity is not a civilized thing. So if you look on people and think that they are civilized because they said a Christian, well, you really don't have a sense of your own history. All right. So it goes on to say here, so they need to take their Christian Bible lyrics, all them songs or them singing and stuff like that, out of all hybrid ethnic lands where we come settled, you see. All right, so maybe I should say S-E-T-T-L-E-D. Yeah. Take it out of all hybrid ethnic settled lands. Go dress yourself in animal skin. What I meant to say here, animal skin. Yes. You use to sport, right? The animal skin you used to sport the whole time. You use the sport the whole time. Three and a half million. 3.5 million years. That's what they use the sport. White people use the sport animal skin for 3.5 million years. Now, let them prove me lying. But that's basically what the world history gives.
for their existence. Now, if there are any little correction exists, it would be minor, but this is the basic thrust of the condition of these white people that you see here today. Okay? Yeah, let them get Rothschild to come and represent represent them, because you see, they behave like, oh, you know, they live behind the wall, behind the door, and they send out their envoy, come out to keep us in the dark with the Bible, with the church, man, come on. And they use our own wealth, use money to make it seem like, okay, it is their money they are using. It's our money they're using. We never have no cash at all. Ask Europe, the African government about these white people. Why are they friends with these white people? You ask all of that. I mean, as long as we remain, foolish, we will never ask these questions. But if we come to know the civilized world, we will know these things and remove these people out the way. You know, talk about they have government and stuff like that, simply because they know they turn with fool and we don't know nothing better. We know better now, you know, see. Search instead for number. National Geographic 2000. Wait a minute now. This is where. Okay. This is. Okay, cool. Okay. So, all right. So I got it. Right? It looks like there are not many great matches for your search. Try using words appear on the page you are looking for. Well, as far as I can see, the search that I look for, they don't want to give me answer to those questions. This Google that we have there that you think that you can trust, you can get some good answers from them, you know. But if you begin to ask them questions to expose them, they will tell you like, you know, it seems like what you're asking, you know, they don't have anything to answer to it. You know, if for your search, you might use another word and all in time. They try to like make you go around and, you know, and keep them safe, you know, for what they're hiding. But listen, I come to read and find out that people are very much behind us as African people. What they come and learn, they learn what the changes in their life. You can read it and see where they're coming from. And no, for real, it's not a joke that they come from the great apes and their species. And now the reason why they are hiding their relationship with the Neanderthals and insisting that Neanderthals come from other hominids. That's what they're saying. And the World History textbook is telling me completely different. So what if I did not read and know that? There's just no way I would find out. Because they are insisting that the interbreeding that they did with our species, like, is not so. And it's into the World History textbook. They can't change that. And it's not something that they can hide now because it's out there in World History textbook. I want to thank you, my friend. The time is over now. And I hope that you get something. All right. Now, I'll go for another tune before we all done this. This was another Sunday. Not Tinkle.
If I have to choose just one day.
If I had to choose just one day to last my whole life through. it would surely be that Sunday, the day that I met you. Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss her, go on and kiss her. If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started. Darling, it would be when you smiled at me that way, that Sunday, that summer.
Newborn whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was coming in, but now lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on and kiss her, go on and kiss her now.
If I had to choose one moment to live within my heart, it would be that tender moment, recalling how we started.
Darling, it would be when you smiled at me
that way, that Sunday, that summer.
If I had to choose just one
finally admits they were never.
Power floats like a river, but in America today, the river flows underground.
Devin Haney, the eighth fighter in the four-belt era to become the undisputed champion of the world. How does that sound?
Deontay's Boxing Nation, what's going on, guys? All right, so when you go on the internet and you Google ESPN, you go to Wikipedia, and their summary of ESPN reads, while ESPN is one of the most successful sports networks, there has been criticism of ESPN. This includes accusations of biased coverage, conflict of interest, and controversies with individual broadcasters and analysts. Now, let me just say this again and make this point very clear. What I just read to you, that wasn't some writer writing a boxing article from some boxing website. That was Wikipedia saying this about ESPN. So with that summation out of the way, almost 3 years ago from today, Devin Haney, who was 20 years old at the time, was Lomachenko's mandator. And unlike Ryan Garcia, when Ryan was Devin Haney's mandatory, Devin Haney, he was calling out the champion.
You are now the mandatory challenger for Vasily Lomachenko's 135-pound title. Do you believe at 20 years old you're ready for this type of challenge?
I think you said his name wrong. It's Lomachenko because he doesn't want to fight me. But it's I feel like I'm ready for the fight. This is the WBC mandatory. So Lomachenko, come on man, let's get this fight going. If I'm so easy, Lomachenko should just fight me and get me out of the way.
But instead of Lomachenko deciding to do exactly what champions are supposed to do, which is defend their throne, defend the title, he surrendered the belt. Lomachenko, he decided to vacate his WBC belt. And according to the WBC president, Mauricio Suleiman, Lomachenko's team contacted the WBC, and they basically asked him, what can we do about this Devin Haney problem? Can you give me that same status that you gave to Canelo Alvarez, the franchise status? WBC obliged Lomachenko and granted him the MBF witness protection status.
How did you choose Lomachenko? Because
I did not choose him. He requested, Canelo requested. So we sent out a vote and we analyzed his history.
Canelo and Lomachenko requested?
Absolutely.
Ooh, he just made headlines.
Lomachenko.
He just made headlines.
Lomachenko, top rank, requested.
Now, after the WBC president handed that franchise status out to Lomachenko, he admitted shortly after that the franchise is not a belt nor a championship.
The franchise is not a belt. It's not a championship.
Now, despite everything that I just reported right there, despite everything that the actual WBC president himself said, ESPN announced the Lomachenko versus Lopez fight as a fight for all four belts for undisputed, completely disregarding and disrespecting the WBC champion, Devin Haney.
Let's talk about all the belts. Here they are. Four on the line, history being made here, the first four-belt lightweight championship fight that the sport has ever had. When you look around and you think to yourself, I win this fight, I'm gathering all this.
And then once Teofimo beat Lomachenko and then Kambosos beat Teofimo, ESPN, they continue to mislead the public. When they knew what the truth was all along, they continue to call all of these fighters undisputed. But then surprisingly, the night of the fight, Devin Haney versus George Kambosos, ESPN Mark Kriegel finally admits on air that the WBC franchise belt was a silly made-up belt all along.
But Haney should get some praise as well for accepting the rematch clause without any hesitation. As far as, you know, the franchise belt, come on, man. That was just a silly thing the WBC made up. We are working our...
Okay, so you can clearly hear Joe Tessitore cutting off Mark Kriegel as he makes that revelation, right? But the most important thing to notice is nobody disagreed with anything that Mark Kriegel said when it came to this fake franchise belt. ESPN just admitted right there that Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, and George Kambosos, they were never undisputed. And the only lightweight that has become undisputed out of all of those fighters is Devin Haney. You guys heard the clip I played for you at the beginning. That was the Australian reporter telling Devin Haney that you are the eighth undisputed champion in history when it comes to the four-belt era. Now, once again, as biased as the Australian media would be towards their own fighter, George Kambosos, even they told the truth when they talked about who was undisputed and who wasn't. But by way of contrast, before ESPN's Mark Kriegel actually told the truth about the franchise belt, ESPN, they still put this graphic up on the screen. They put up their own list of the undisputed champions in the four-belt era. But their list included Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos. You see, if ESPN had to put the real graphic up, then it would show that five out of eight of the undisputed champions are Black Americans. And they did not want the list to look like it was being dominated by Black Americans, which is the same reason why their pound-for-pound list looks the way it does. ESPN, they have retired boxers on their list, like Tyson Fury. They have fighters that have just come off of recent losses like Lomachenko, and somehow they have Lomachenko ranked higher than Devin Haney when Devin Haney just beat the guy that just beat Lomachenko. I mean, if this was the NFL, that would mean that Lomachenko, he lost in the playoffs and didn't even advance to the Super Bowl. Now, going back to a retired fighter like Tyson Fury being on the list, going back to Floyd Mayweather, when Floyd Mayweather announced his retirement after he knocked out Ricky Hatton, Floyd Mayweather was pound for pound, number one, the best fighter on everyone's list. They removed Floyd from the list immediately. They didn't care if Floyd was coming back or not. They removed him as soon as he said he was retiring. But yet ESPN, they keep Tyson Fury on the list. Jermell Charlo, he becomes undisputed and arguably the deepest division in the sport of boxing. They don't even have Jermell on the list. But when Usyk became undisputed and arguably the weakest division in all of boxing, the cruiserweight division, ESPN, they put him on their list at number six. So at the end of the day, these examples, these double standards that I just displayed in this video is exactly what Wikipedia was describing in their summary of ESPN. That's all I got for now, guys. I'm on to the next one. All right, now check this out, guys. If you're looking to repair eczema scars, burns, and bruises, dark spots, and blemishes, and this right here is the perfect product for you guys. It's called Elogy Face and Body Oil. Athletes and top-ranking boxers, they're also using it after training to reduce swelling, inflammation, and reduce the pain. So get yours today. Go to LOGT.com. Like them on Facebook and follow them on Instagram. Fellas, I've got some great news for you. If you've lost your hair or have a receding hairline, the time has come when you can finally get your hairline back through a process called scalp micropigmentation. So here's how it works. It's a hair tattoo that replicates the look of your hair follicles when you have fully shaved it down. So to get this hookup, make sure you follow and contact my man, Scalp Carolinas, on Instagram. Let me tell you guys about Issa Israel Law Firm. It is a full-service legal practice based in Denver, Colorado, an emerging hub for combat sports and high-altitude training. If you're a fighter inside or outside of the ring and you need a law firm you can trust to fight for you, visit thefighterfirm.com or email help at iilawfirm.com. Legal representation is usually limited.